gates of death, for us to return to the ways of death. Although Christ has set us free, we continue to live in the bondage of worry, doubt, and fear. Like the first disciples, we have a hard time believing in your resurrection and allowing you to guide our lives. Forgive us, Lord. By your great mercy, help us this week to be your disciples, to obey your word, and to show your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue now in a spirit of confession as we remain seated, singing together, Come and Fill Our Hearts, number 2157, twice through. Hear the good news. While you were dead in your trespasses, God has made you alive with him. When he forgave our trespasses, God erased the record that had stood against us with all of its legal demands. He set this aside, nailed it to the cross, triumphed over sin, and blesses us with forgiveness this day. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. Embrace it as you begin a fresh start today. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
This is the time in our worship service where we share together our prayers of joy or concern, things we want to lift up to God this week. And we've already talked about the birth of Bobby Ray, a little baby who we're going to call Sweet Ray, Sweet Bobby Ray. I saw Grandpa Bob back there, so welcome, Bob. We're praying for Pastor Chris and her kids as they travel on the West Coast this week. I'm wondering what other prayers are in your hearts today, and Matt's going to run the mic.
Today is the big day of the wedding, certainly not worthy of your prayers, but Tuesday, our six-year-old granddaughter, Lily, sent Sally home with Ken, and she is bringing Barbie to our house this afternoon and has planned a wedding, and last night I made a three-tiered wedding cake. And afterwards, Sally reminded me that she's bringing Barbie Great with Child. So we're going to have a wedding this afternoon of Ken and Barbie. And certainly it's not worthy of your prayers, but somewhat interesting.
Thank you, Jim. We pray for you.
That's certainly a hard act to follow, but can you continue prayers for my mom? Excuse me. She is doing very well. She's recovering in a rehab facility back in Pittsburgh, and she's doing some physical therapy to help her regain her strength. She's recovering more and more every day. She probably, hopefully, will get out this week. I haven't heard any word of that yet, but she's had lots of visitors, and she's in really good spirits, and she said... I talked to her the other day, and she said to thank you all for your prayers.
Good.
Hi, my joy is I have Madison with me, but I'm going to have to leave early because she's not feeling good, so could you pray for her? I know that Amy had told me that the other baby's not feeling good either, so I'm just hoping that God just, you know, gets them well. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Melinda.
Well, Walter celebrated his 88th birthday yesterday.
All right.
But he's having problems with a cold right now, so I'd like continued prayers for him. His daughter-in-law, Toni, was with us last night. She had a lumpectomy on Tuesday, and she's doing well, although she's going to have to either have chemo or radiation, not sure which.
Okay. Thanks.
I ask for continued prayers for my friend Roberta, who's recovering from her back surgery and spinal cord surgery, where she had a tumor removed, and they only removed about three quarters of it, but she's doing very well, and she needs help and just healing from the incision, and but so far her spirits are very good, and she's very, very thankful for all the prayers of the church. And I also want prayers, I just found out yesterday my friend Linda, whose husband's name is Alan. He's in his 60s, I believe. He hasn't been feeling well for several months, and he just was told after having some extensive testing done that he has a mass, a fairly large mass on his liver and some nodules on his lungs. So prayers for him, especially, and his wife, Linda, as they go through this together. It's naturally, it's a very difficult time and scary time for them.
So,
thank you.
We have a friend in Canada, and he went home for holidays. He just come back. He found out he's not feeling good. He went to see his doctor, and he said he have a kidney problem. Mm-hmm. Both of them is not working. So right now he's in the hospital, so we need a prayer for him.
What's his name?
Adam.
Adam?
I just wanted to request prayers for Martin Luther King Elementary School. They're in the process of advocating to get an assistant principal for next year. Their numbers have grown significantly as they've been busing kids from schools in South Providence that have been shut down, and I think it would be a great boost to that school if they could secure an assistant principal for next year. So please keep them in your prayers.
Thanks, Joe.
I have one more prayer to ask for my stepdad. His name is Ed, and he's in his 80s. He's been dealing with COPD for several years now with various inhalers and doing fairly well, but then he found out that he is pretty severely diabetic. He just found that out, and he's in his mid-80s or so, and so he needs lots of prayers. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I have the prayer for my daughter's birthday today. So I have to pray for him.
Who's Brother Esther? Whose birthday? Who's? Lucinda's birthday. Okay.
Praise God. I want to thank you all for the prayers you had for my sister Neri when she was sick. And even when she passed on, you still stood with us, the whole family. The funeral went well. And I have this gratitude, even from home, my parents told me that to tell you thank you very much because they have seen the Lord throughout. We had told you before, some of you knew the bill was huge. And it was able to be paid, even if not all, but at least they were able to bury the body. And also I would like to ask you to continue praying for our family, and more so for my mother, who is completely heartbroken. I talked to her yesterday, and she was down. It's like now the reality of death has touched her. So continue praying for us all and for her too, and for my sister Janet, who went to Africa, to Kenya because of the sickness and waited for the burial. And as she plans to come back, hopefully next week she's coming back, that God will give her a safe journey. And my sister's daughter, she had a daughter of 7 years and a half. Her name is Ashley. Please pray for her because she's completely heartbroken. She was told the mother passed on, and yet a day before the burial, she was asking my grandma, "Grandma, please call your church people to pray for my mama to come home." So it's like she doesn't know what death is, so please pray for her. And today, I'm glad to have my aunt here, a sister to my mother, from Worcester, who came to stay with us from Sunday. Since when this thing happened, she came to be with us. And her name is Ruse. She's with us here. She will be with us for one more week. And my nephew here, her daughter's son. So the house is full. So thank you very much for your prayers once again. And thank you, Tata. We call them, when you are an aunt, aunt is Tata, T-A-T-A. So she's my Tata. Thank you so much, Tata and John. He's John. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary.
When I hear what our friends from Ghana say about getting older, it sounds so nice in the abstract. But on Monday, I turned 79, and I didn't feel Ghanaian at all. I was not happy about that. And then on Tuesday, I learned that a young woman that I had worked with for almost 30 years just died. And they don't know if it was heart or brain bleed or whatever. So pray. Please, for Henry and the grown children and the children-in-law from that union. It was a very, very sad wake.
Thanks, CJ.
Got a double prayer for my friend Jason.
After 30 years, last Sunday, he was baptized and brought into the Roman Catholic Church.
Wow.
He joined us long ago when I was in high school in our youth group, and that was his first introduction to Christ. And with him also, a prayer of, I don't know if it's concerned what this falls under, but he's in a legal battle right now with his sister for custody of his niece. Prayers for both him and his sister. The sister is a drug user and in need of a kidney. So there's a lot going on there. So prayers for her for healing in multiple ways.
Thanks, Tom.
I just wanted to welcome my friends Adam and Linda, who joined me here today, and on their behalf to say thank you for all the prayers that you've said on their behalf. Adam is having his surgery on Wednesday in Boston. He's having his heart surgery, so if you could continue to keep him and Linda in your prayers, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks. Welcome.
I'd like to ask prayer for myself. I have a major project that's been the culmination of research and delegation and implementation for 6 months, and it's due in 2 weeks, and I'm stressing out like nobody's business. So if you guys could all be in prayer about that, that it would just deliver and execute well, that would be great.
I ask for prayer for a speedy recovery for my dance teacher, Kathy, who just had back surgery last Wednesday. And while I'm at it, prayers for Gus's regionals that he has this afternoon.
Ah, good luck, Gus.
I'm glad to share with you this morning that two good news. First, my denomination in Brazil, the IPIB, Independent Presbyterian Church, sent 300 Portuguese Bibles to be used in my ministry. And also, the Presbyterian women give us some grant, and part of this money will be used to start a new program among women in jail. So we already have somebody else to do that, and now we have money to start. And I thank God for this news.
Great. Thank you, Jason.
When I was at the Providence Performing Arts Center last night, there was an older gentleman that during the performance, he fell out of his seat into the aisle into the back, in the back of the theater. And I don't know the gentleman's name, but I saw them working on him. At first, there was no pulse at all. There happened to be a heart specialist in the audience who got to him immediately. And they did revive him, and the rescue came, and they were talking with him and everything, and they took him to the hospital. I don't know his name, but I know God knows him. And he's probably still at the hospital, I'm not sure, but I'm sure that he was taken to Rhode Island Hospital late last evening, so just wanted prayers for him.
Okay, thanks.
Even though we don't know his name.
This sounds very minor compared to all the other prayers I've heard, but my son, Daniel, and his wife, they're coming home from Rome. So I just ask for traveling mercies from them, their whole family. They were visiting my granddaughter, Susan, so now they're coming back on Friday. Thank you.
Are there any other prayers?
Let's join together in a time of prayer. There's a lot of needs out there today. Let us pray. Risen Lord Jesus, we pray to you today. We give you thanks that standing 1 week beyond
the celebration of your resurrection on Easter, that we have the opportunity to gather and worship. We thank you for the blessings you have bestowed on our lives and the ways that you have led us this week, in this year, and in years past. Oh, Lord, we pray to you today that you would continue to be our guide into the years that are still to come. God, we pray for our church in this particular time as we seek to see what is around the corner and what is coming up next. Lord, we do not know the way to go, but we seek to follow in your way, to have open eyes and ears to see and hear the things you would tell us and show us. Oh God, we do pray this day for our community of faith, this church, for our concerns within and without. We pray with joy today at the birth of Bobby Ray this week to Meg and Kirk. We pray that you would bless and keep that little child. We look forward to meeting him here personally not too long from now. We pray for Jim Lockhart and the excitement of Ken and Barbie's wedding. We pray for birthdays and celebrations for Walter and Deborah, Lucinda and CJ. We thank you for the Bibles that have been sent from Brazil for Jerison's ministry and the new prison ministry with women, which is just beginning. Continue to bless and keep your servant, we pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks that on Easter you grant us new life, resurrection life, and that we can begin to experience that life now. We pray for Jason at his Easter baptism as he begins a walk of faith with you that started long ago in a new way. We pray that he would be built up by his community of faith as he finds out what that will mean for him. We do lift him up as well in the legal situation that he faces. Oh Lord, we pray this day for the needs in our lives, which are many, for John's big work project, for continued healing for Tony and Roberta, Ed, Kathy, and the man from the PPAC, for Walter with a cold, for Melinda taking care of Madison, who is sick, for Alan and for Linda, for Lori's mom and her continued recovery. Lord, we pray particular prayers today for Adam and Linda, who are here for this surgery in Boston. We pray for them, for the skilled hands of surgeons who will do their work, for the friendship of Heidi as she walks alongside them. We pray for a speedy recovery. Oh Lord, we understand that not all sickness in this life will be healed in the way that we expect or hope. We pray for those who are suffering in grief this day, for loved ones lost, especially for Mary and the Kinua family at the loss of Nellie, for Janet, for Ashley, for the family both in Kenya and here in the United States. Comfort them, O Lord, as they mourn. We pray also for CJ's friend Henry and the kids at the loss that they have experienced this week. Lord God, we lift up to you these prayers of joy and concern, remembering our wider world as well, for the MLK schools as they seek an assistant principal, for the city of Providence and the surrounding communities who deal with budget battles daily and weekly. We pray for our national leaders, even as we enter into a new election season. We pray for our world. This day we lift up and remember Syria and other nations that are not at peace, where terror is the norm, and where people live in fear. Oh God, we pray this day that we would catch a new sense of the hope you have for us, that your word from Scripture might speak into our lives, comforting us, building us up, enriching us. By the power of your Spirit, may we now be joined together with brothers and sisters in all time and places who pray the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation forward at this time. Come on down. Come on up. Find a place here in the front. Come on in. Hi, Lily. Come on in. Hey, guys. Let's see. Come on up. All the way up, Evan. Okay. Here we go. Well, good morning. You know, sometimes when someone comes to visit the church here, we get a chance to meet them and we say hi, and what do we do when we meet somebody? What would you do? Shake their hands, be nice to them, what else? We ask them anything? Ask them their name? Yeah? Show them around, ask how are you? You're gonna say this. Playing with them, all these things we do when somebody's new and when we're just meeting them. And sometimes when somebody comes to visit, share our toys, sometimes when somebody comes to visit here in the church, we'll send them an email or make a phone call, and sometimes I even send them a little card in the mail. Look at this card. It's the church, right? Can you see that? It's a little church card. See that? Kind of looks like our church, doesn't it? Yeah. It is. Whoa, I think it is our church, actually. That's our church, yeah. And so when people come and visit, we want them to remember our church and maybe to come back and stay with us again. And a lot of people, they do that. And they come back and become part of our church. And we're all here together every week on a Sunday or on Tuesday barbecues or on Friday playgroup or in different times. We're all together. But then sometimes, after people have been here for some time, other things come up and they might have to leave and go somewhere else. You know, they might have to make a move. Right, Abigail? Thank you. And look what we're saying. Sometimes, after we've been here all together for a long time, sometimes some things change and we might even make a move. And you know, in a couple of weeks, Abigail and me and Lisa are going to make a big move. Did you hear about that? You heard about it, yeah. I know. We are, and so we're gonna, instead of being welcomed to the church here with a card and all the ways that we get to know each other, we're gonna be saying goodbye to the church, and we're gonna be missing the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean a building, because it's pretty cool, but really what I mean is you guys, our friends. Because the church is always made up of people, you know? People who come together and try and get to know God. People who sing and laugh and talk and share stories and share toys. That's what the church is all about. And so we're going to be missing you guys when we leave. And we'll have a chance next week to say goodbye one more time, but I just wanted to show you this picture of the church because it's not that we're going to leave it behind. We're going to take this picture with us. And I have so many pictures of all of you that we're going to take with us. They're going to be memories for us, and they'll be very special. And I hope you'll remember us too, even when all the new things start happening here. Bye, Abigail. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you all know. Abigail, come here. You want this? Have this. Not right now. So Abigail and I just wanted to make sure you knew that we love you and we're going to continue to pray for you, even when things change and even when we move in a couple of weeks. So I want to send you down to your classes where you're going to keep learning more about Jesus and have more fun. And I'm going to start by praying. So let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for these children and for our church. We pray for the love and relationships you have brought us into in this place. Pray that could continue even as things change. Bless and keep us in this day and every day to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks. You guys can go downstairs. Children are released at this time to their classes downstairs. The middle school and high school will be meeting together up in the couches room today.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning is Psalm 133. Hear now the word of the Lord. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. It is great to see you all here on this Sunday after Easter, traditionally known as the most fun Sunday of the year. Maybe not. There's a wonderful word that I like to use, which I wonder, and I wonder if you know it. The word is penultimate. Have you heard that word before? Penultimate. I'll give you an example to see if you can figure out what it means. Today's scripture reading was from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has 21 chapters total. So today we read the penultimate chapter of the Gospel of John. What does it mean? One before the last, second to last, next to last. Not only are we reading from the next to last chapter of the Gospel of John, but it's the next to last story about Jesus and his disciples in the whole Gospel. After the Easter story, which we read last week, there are a series of stories about how Jesus appeared or made himself known to his followers in the days that followed. And I'm particularly interested in this story today, as today turns out to be my penultimate Sunday at Providence Presbyterian Church. This is my second to last sermon, the second to last time in this pulpit, second to last chance to share with you about how the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ matter so much for our lives. Reading scripture together is always a two-way street, because our real-life circumstances always come into contact with God's eternal word, and we discover somehow that God's story relates to our stories. And what is our story these days, here on a Sunday after Easter, here on the penultimate Sunday, for me to be with you all? Like those disciples in the story today, we're entering a time of transition in our life together, where things are changing from how they were and something new is about to begin. In these days, we might even find ourselves full of some worry or fear or doubt about what the future will hold. So on this penultimate Sunday, we're going to turn again to the Word of God in Scripture, and we're going to seek the word that the Lord has for each one of us and for all of us together today. So as we begin, let's pray. God of endings and beginnings, God of the second to last and the first, we pray to you today. Open your scripture to us. Help us hear your word amidst my words. Help us to follow through on where you lead us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a kind of running joke that we have here at the church when the elders and pastors get together in our session meetings. You see, at almost every one of these session meetings, which is the governing board of our congregation, things come up where we need a volunteer, and it needs to be an elder. Every time, for example, that we have a presbytery meeting, that gathering, that regional gathering of churches, our church needs to send two elders to be delegates to represent our church. And as you all know, I hope, presbytery meetings are one of the most fun things you can do with your time. This is a well-established fact. You know, they take place on a Saturday, so you get up really early on a Saturday morning, drive 2 or 3 hours, go and attend a 5-hour church business meeting, and then get in your car and drive back home, all on your day off. Does that sound fun? So whenever this comes up, we actually have to laugh at our session meetings, because the first people who we tend to nominate when this round of presbytery, when presbytery comes up and we need volunteers, are the people who are not there that night at the meeting. If you are a session elder and you didn't show up that night, you are assured a spot in this special task of going to presbytery. Woody Allen once said that 90% of life is just showing up. And in some sense, I think this is true. This might even be the first lesson that our story for today has to teach us. And it's a spiritual lesson. If we're going to follow where Jesus wants to lead us in these transitional times ahead, in these changing days that are coming, if we want to follow where Jesus is leading, we need to keep showing up. When we don't show up, we miss out on something very important. The story from Scripture begins on that first Sunday evening of that very first Easter. All the disciples, except for Thomas, have gathered in a room and they've locked the doors because they're full of fear and they're full of questions. First, Jesus was taken away from them. He was crucified and on a cross he died and was buried. But now, all day long, they've been hearing these strange reports that somehow the tomb was found to be empty and that some people even said that Jesus himself had appeared to some of the women. They don't know what to make of these events. They don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know where it goes from here. And so they gather. And it's in that gathering, on the first day of the week, that Jesus shows up. When we gather together as a church, Jesus is in our midst, even here on a rainy Sunday, the week after Easter. Amen. Thank you. When the earliest Christians read this account of how Jesus appeared to the disciples on that first Easter, and again the week after that as they gathered, they noticed in it a pattern. And it's the pattern that the church has been following ever since. We gather together week by week on what we might call Resurrection Day, Sunday. We worship, we share life together, and when we leave this place, we are filled with a new spirit, God's own spirit, which has been put in each of us week by week. So the consistent gathering of believers becomes the new pattern, the new rhythm, the new way of life for Christian believers. We keep showing up. Right, Jill? But then we might ask, what is the nature of this gathering that we show up to week by week? I mean, there are plenty of things in our lives that ask us to consistently show up. Our jobs, for one. Our schools, our families, the gym we belong to, the scout troop, the sports team, the yoga class, the AA meeting, the parent-teacher organization, PTO, and more. What is so different about a gathering of Christian believers from all the other gatherings that we show up for the other important things in our lives that ask us to be consistent? Well, Scripture says that when they had gathered on that Sunday evening, that Jesus came and stood among them. It says that he stood in their midst, that he came right into the middle of their meeting. And so that's the difference, because that's the place that Jesus always intends to be, right in the middle of this church. As a church, we are Christocentric, which means that we seek to have Christ at the center of all that we do together. And in a time of transition or change, the challenge is to keep showing up and to keep Jesus at our center. One of the ways we do that is by examining and re-examining what we do together and why. I was driving a few days before Easter and I saw a big billboard outside the Marriott Hotel. It was advertising an Easter egg hunt at the Marriott. My first thought was, competition. We have an Easter egg hunt. How dare they do such a thing? But then I remembered that this year we did a review of our egg hunt, which is an annual tradition of the church. And we asked this question, why? Why should we have an Easter egg hunt like a Marriott or the YMCA or any other number of organizations might put on? And we realized that the Easter egg hunt is actually an opportunity for us to keep the focus on Jesus in Easter, rather than the Easter bunny or collecting candy or full contact competitive egg hunting. So we refocused ourselves and tried to center this egg hunt, this church event, in a way that would creatively tell the story of Jesus to the children who showed up and their families. And it worked out great. It was a wonderful day. Sometimes it's easier to start focusing on other things, but the challenge to us is to keep our center in Christ. Jesus came and stood in their midst, right in the middle. So Thomas in the story has seemingly missed his chance to encounter Christ. He didn't show up. He didn't believe the others when they told him what had happened. He's incredulous. He says, unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger in his side, I will not believe. Now, we've probably heard the story of Doubting Thomas many times before. I'm reminded that I preached on it 1 year ago. I'll try not to double that material. And we sort of feel like we know the moral of the story. You know, Thomas is bad, doubt is bad, missing a Sunday at church is very bad. But what's interesting in this story is there's a much more subtle layer of what is being told. For example, although Thomas has expressed these serious doubts and misgivings about the disciples' story, he's not castigated or punished or excluded. Instead, when they gather again the following week, Thomas is with them. Apparently, this was a community of faith that had room for doubt. A community of faith that made room for healthy, honest, seeking questions. And even though he was full of these questions and these hesitations, he is still invited, and he comes. Grace is extended, and it's received. This is a picture of what the church is meant to be like, because Jesus is constantly extending grace to unlikely or unexpected people. People like Thomas, people like you and me. When Jesus appears to them the second time, he goes right up to Thomas and he shows him his wounds. It's the first thing he does. He says, "Put your finger in my side and look at the marks in my hands." It's as if he knew what Thomas had said. It's as if he knew the things that Thomas needed to see or hear or experience in order to move toward belief. Notice that Jesus does not stand back in judgment, arms folded with a scowl on his face and a black robe, waiting for Thomas to see the error of his ways and to come around. No, Jesus makes the first step. He shows up, he goes to Thomas, he shows him the wounds. Bible scholar Dale Bruner points out that when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, we notice there is no preliminary reminder of the disciples' failure to support him in his crisis, how they all deserted him and ran away a few days before. There's no call for repentance or even for faith. The first word is grace. It's grace and peace. And so it is with Thomas, who he meets right where he is in his questions and concerns. And after this, Thomas responds and says, "My Lord and my God." Did you know that in all four of the Gospels, this is the only place where someone refers to Jesus as God? It's referenced and alluded to in other places, especially the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. But explicitly, it is only Thomas, the doubter, oh, he of little faith, who comes to make this final personal confession of faith. He says, "My Lord and my God." It becomes personal and meaningful for him. And this is the promise of what can happen when we continue to extend God's grace, especially to those who have doubts or questions, reservations or hang-ups. The community of grace gathers, and personal faith is fostered. As a community of grace that gathers, we seek to foster personal faith, "My Lord and my God." So what would it look like, I wonder, for you to be a person who extends grace, who shows God's grace in this transitional times ahead? Will it mean having a little extra patience when things on a Sunday morning don't quite go right? Will it mean encouraging the leaders of the church as they work and make decisions for the future? Will it mean offering forgiveness for the various slights and slip-ups that always seem to happen when we're together in a community? Jesus spoke gracious words to those first disciples, and especially to Thomas. And we are called as a church to extend God's grace to others as well. So this is the message of the morning. It's hopefully something you can take away with you today. Keep showing up. Keep Jesus at the center. Keep extending grace to one another and the world. I want to leave you with just one final thought this morning. You know, it was after Jesus had appeared to his disciples, extended this word of grace and peace, shown them his wounds, assuaged their fears, done all the rest, that he blesses them. Jesus ends this appearance with a blessing. Jesus is well known for his beatitudes, the way he blesses people, and he does it again here. This is the final blessing in all of Scripture that Jesus gives to his followers, that Jesus gives to you and me. He says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you saw?" Good. Fine. No problem. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are you who have not seen the way Thomas got to see and yet are seeking the way of Jesus and are coming into faith and are living your lives in response to this grace. We are the 99% in that sense. We are among the majority of Christians in all time and place who never got to see Jesus up close and personal to put a hand in his side. And yet, we are invited and we are called to believe. Keep showing up. Keep Jesus Christ at the center. Keep extending grace to others. And as you do, may God continue to bless you. You of little faith, you of much faith, and you who want to keep growing in your faith. God bless you today. Amen.
Please stand and repeat with me our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, as printed in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In a spirit of thanksgiving, let us now receive the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these gifts of our time, talent, and treasure, that you would use them in our community as a sign of Christ's risen presence among us to meet our needs, increase our faith, and remove our doubts. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn. That offertory said that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and our final song is "It Is Well With My Soul," an all-time tearjerker. Let's join together as we sing this morning.